I was not only for Karen, but yeah, I wanted to say something about that too. But this is, I would just say, Karen, you can do it again. But we had a Ministers and Wives conference here in Sydney, down at Collaroy Center. And the highlight for all of these 65 men and women that were there at this conference was spending 2.5 hours on the fun boat. And they did, Karen did an awesome job with her hubby. Just really appreciate that. And hey, and you did a wonderful job today for lunch. So let's just show our appreciation. Thank you so much. All right. Let's switch gears. Working as a team. All right. The next handout. We're going to start. Get this going here. Start with that last scripture that we ended with, you know, from Jesus, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I want to unpack that a little bit and think about how that applies to working together as a team. And when I think about a team, I'm not just thinking about here we are as a ministry team. I love that because your ministry has the idea of what? Of, pardon? Community, but ministry has the idea of service, right? Servant leadership, right? If you called yourselves a leadership team, what is that kind of picture? That's sort of like that top down, right? Ministry teams means we're here to serve, right? That's, it actually comes from the same root words, okay? Minister and servant. It comes from that same root word of being able, where they come from the Greek or the Latin, but the whole idea of we're here to serve. So you're a ministry team. So you can think about this as a ministry team. You can think about this as a session. You can think about this as your own local group. Now, you might have a cadet group that you're working with, or a small group, or you might have a care ministry that you're overseeing, or there's a number of different things that you're doing, whatever it is. I don't know what all your ministries represent. But you have a team that you work with. All right? You might meet together for meetings as well, deciding what to do and get involved in different kinds of... So how do we function good as a team? We talk collectively as a ministry team, but then also individually, all the parts. What are some things that we can do? And this scripture just underscores the fact is that, remember, we're here as supporting ligaments, right? So we got to build this support network that will help each other to be built up. And everybody's got to do their part, right? Because if one part doesn't do its part, it don't work. Recently, my wife Jeannie had a torn meniscus, and it just really bummed her out for almost the last year. And it just came to a climax, you know, about a week ago, and she had surgery a week ago Friday. But I mean, I just knew what that meant, you know, just that one of her parts of her body wasn't working right. And as a result, it just hindered her, right? Just hindered her mobility, hindered her to move around, and even hindered her joy, because she just felt that pain all the time. But it's fixed up now, and she's doing really well. So I want to start with six keys to building an effective ministry team. Six keys. You know, you might have 18. I like to keep things a little bit simple, but these are things that I've discovered and that has worked well in terms of building an effective ministry team. And again, ministry team at any level. Okay? First thing, you got to have a common purpose. That has to do with vision. That's your reason for cooperation. Why do you exist as a team? Why do you have a cadet group? Why do you have a GEMS group? Why do you have young people's? Why do you have a session? If you don't understand what you're all about, then you might as well shut the door, right? Don't meet. Don't do what you're doing if you got no reason to do what you're doing. Same thing as a church. If you have no vision, if you have no reason why you exist as Blacktown CRC, you might as well don't waste your money and just shut the doors. There's a reason why you're here. You got to be able to know that. And that purpose has to be a common purpose, right? Something that you agree on. We talked about that in the first session, about having a unified vision that you're agreed on. in a ministry team, there has to be clear roles. And I think that's very very clear when we think about this ministry team. I mean, all of you represent different bodies, but you have certain roles. Okay? Session members, you have certain roles. If you're a small group leader, you have certain roles. But you got to understand what those roles are. And they have to be clear. One of the things that I work with quite extensively with some churches is when they actually start putting some strategy together and some effective structures in place, they actually get playbooks for each ministry so that every ministry knows what they are responsible for, what they are to do, and how they function as a group. I don't know if you have that specifically for some of your ministries. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But in my last congregation, we spent, about 2 or 3 years just putting together a whole binder so that we knew exactly, what everybody's responsibility was. And that needs to be very clearly outlined. The third key for to build an effective ministry team is empowering leadership. And that's one of the values of NCD. That provides the structure for cooperation. What so often is what happens in churches is that when you have different teams or different ministries, it often becomes a policing role. And so session members, for example, they have to oversee every single thing that happens in every single ministry and all of that. And they have to basically put their stamp of approval on every ministry that they're involved in. Or you might be heading of a care ministry and you have different people that work with you in that, volunteers, and you insist that before anything ever is done, you make sure that they get approvals first and all of that stuff. And that's really top-down kind of leadership. But empowering leadership is different. Empowering leadership means is that we have clearly defined roles. But as long as you stay within those clearly defined roles, we don't need to police you. We just empower you, right? We empower you to get the job done. And that just releases people, all right, to do the ministry and to take ownership for their ministry. It's very important to building a team. And that's how you enable teams to grow and become healthy. There has to be effective structures. There has to be some kind of method for cooperation. You have to know, who reports to who and what decisions, need higher approvals, which ones don't. There has to be some clearly outlined, lines of accountability. That's very important. When you have an effective ministry. One of the things that we're doing in our denomination right now is we're changing some of our structures in our church. In our denomination, because we have found that sometimes the lines of accountability, no one really knows who's in charge and who do we report to and how does that all work. So that needs to be clearly spelled out, and hopefully we'll get some more of that worked on over the next year or two. But you need effective structures. And of course, that's another one of the values from NCD for a healthy church. There's got to be solid relationships. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit. But solid relationships are so key. There has to be, and we're in this together. We're a family, we feel like we're part of a community, and we're in it together. And it's the climate, right? There's love, and there's fun, and there's joy, and there's this whole idea that we not only pray together, but we play together. And we have good relationships with one another. I mean, we can go to anyone's house, and we can just do coffee together, and we can just feel like we're catching up with old buddies, right? Just there's solid relationships. And finally, there has to be excellent communication. It's so important that when you want to build an effective team, that you keep letting people know what's going on. And that's so important in a church too. Often why churches fail is simply because people don't talk enough. They don't share enough about what the ministries are going on and what's happening. And so we need to have, excellent communication and open communication. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. That's the means of cooperation. And all six are essential. If any one of those six are missing, you're not going to have an effective ministry team. If you say, well, you know, we're not doing too bad, we got 4 out of 6. No, you're going to fail. Because it's not going to grow, and it's not going to be a healthy work in relationships. So you need all of those 6 things, okay? A common purpose, clearly defined roles, leadership that is empowered to do the work, structures that are in place so you know where the lines of accountability, you know, good, solid relationships. You know, and one of the neat things about this kind of ministry team is that this creates an avenue whereby you can, you know, build relationships. Why in the world did I get our ministers and wives this past May out on the fun boat for 2.5 hours? Why did I just give them, rather than organizing busloads, I just gave them some tickets to go on public transit so that they had to find, you know, some of these people out of state who've never taken Sydney Transit before, they had to find their own way to get down. I gave them a map, but they had to find their way, you know, to the harbor. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to build solid relationships. And you know what? We did more, you know, going down, you know, on that boat in terms of building relationships than all the talking and lectures and everything else that we listened to the rest of the few days we were together. And excellent communication. All 6 are very important. Now, let's look at our church. Blacktown. A couple of things when we talk about being a joyful church, okay? Remember, there's 3 things out of the NCD that we realized that were things that we struggled with. One was vision. The other one was joy. And the third one was, pardon? Compassion, okay? And we're going to get to that in just a minute. Okay, so just enjoy. Just want to remind ourselves of a couple of our low points where we scored. Question 35, the atmosphere of our church is strongly influenced by praise and compliments. Okay? A bit on the low scale. Our leaders regularly praise and acknowledge volunteers. Okay? Again, on the low scale. Our leaders seem to enjoy their ministry in our church. Again, lower on the scale. And finally, there's a lot of joy and laughter in our church. Now, that just says to us, you know, as a church, that, you know, we got to do something about this. You know, whenever we do whatever ministry that we're involved in and the teams that we're part of, one of the things that we need to see happening is this joy factor get increased. Okay? We've got to keep asking ourselves, how can we lift up the joy factor? So how can we do some of that? How can we find joy in Christian service? Now, listen to what Jesus said. As the Father, and that was read this morning, I think you read that this morning, right? Reflected on that. Now, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love, and if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. I've told you all of this. Why? Now, why does Jesus tell us to do all this stuff? Why? So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The word in the Greek there is like filled up and it's kind of like overflowing. It's like that overflowing cup that David talks about in Psalm 23. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So this is where it began. This is Christ says, you know, this is what he wants us to realize in the midst of all the living out of the Christian ministry that we're involved in. He wants us to come to that point of complete joy. So how do we do that? How do we find that? Well, one of the ways to increase joy is just to have lots of laughter and fun. You know, Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You know, as a ministry team, one of the things that you ought to be thinking about, and that's not only for this team, but also, you know, your other teams that you're part of, is make sure you provide opportunities just to have fun, right? Just where you can just laugh together. If you want to increase joy, just people enjoying their ministries, is just get them together once in a while just to do something for the fun of it. You know, we're not going to make any decisions. We're not going to do any kind of meetings. We're just going to have a fun time together. I'm part of a life group, and one of the things that we do once in a while is we just do fun stuff together as a life group. That's like a cell group, like a home group, right? And we don't just sit there Bible studying, but we do life together. We just go out to the restaurant, or we go bowling, or, you know, we go on our motorcycles and we take off somewhere. We just do something fun together. Why do we do that? Because we want to increase the joy factor, right? Laugh, just have laughter and fun. It's so important. Reconciliation is so important. If you want to find a joy buster, get a bunch of people that just can't stand each other. And they just whinge and complain back and forth to each other. Listen to what Jesus says. This is about life in the church. He says, if you enter your place of worship and you're about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. I guess in this church here in Blacktown, no one has grudges against each other, right? No. Because I saw no one stand up in church today and walk out when the offering plate was, or offering bag was distributed. But you know, there are grudges. And the reason why I can say that, and I'm not going to talk about this, but just read your bulletin. And you see that there's grudges, right? There's some kind of different, people are saying, you know what, we're like this with each other. It's not healthy. The Bible says, if you ever find yourself, leave immediately, go to this person and make things right. Right then and only then, come back and work things out with God. Right? God says, you got things to work out with me? Work it out first with each other. Because that's more important. Because if you don't love your brother and sister, and if you can't work good like this, there's no way you can work this out. Right? Because those two things go hand in hand. Jesus says, two commandments I give you, love God above all, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Those are the only two commands. That's where it all boils down to. And so it's so important, as you're building a team, think of a ministry team. If any one of you have anything against one another, I mean, you got to get that on the table. You got to talk about it. Right? And if otherwise, guess what? The joy factor is going to go out the window. You're not going to enjoy your ministry. And within the church, if there are factions within the church that somehow can't get along with each other, well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to squeeze the joy factor out of the church, right? It doesn't take rocket science. It's just what Jesus says, right? And that's why he gave us the love commandment. So you got to make things right with one another. Reconciliation is so important. It's interesting, if you noticed in your handouts that you received today, where's that, Bernie? Where's the story? Is that on the front? At the back, just notice the story thing in the back. Right? You see where it says story? What's the number one thing that comes naturally to you as a church? Reconciliation. Isn't that neat? What says is that even though joy is way on the bottom, it says that, you know what, you can do it. You might think you can't do the reconciliation bit, but as a church, you can do it. So if there's issues out there, don't not do it, because you can do it. Because your survey has said, you know what, in this church, somehow we can do this stuff. So get about this stuff of reconciliation. Creativity. It's so important, especially as you start implementing some of the NCD things. You might start to do some wild and wonderful things as a church. And you're saying, well, we can't do that at Blacktown. We've never done that kind of stuff here before. Because it's new. It's different. You want to zap joy out of a church? Don't let people be creative. It's so important. In fact, Jesus says, that's the stuff of church. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, no one tears a patch from an old garment and sews it to an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. Do you know what the issue was? Any of you know what the issue was? Bunch of people came to Jesus and they say, Jesus, your disciples got it wrong. Look at them. when we see them, they're always at Macca's and at the restaurants, and they're eating and drinking, and they don't fast. You know, they're just eating it up all the time. And we see you doing that too. And that can't happen because, you know, according to our traditions, we have to have certain days of fasting. And Jesus says, forget it. Forget it, because that's not the way it is. Got new wine now. We don't stick with the old stuff. Luke goes on in saying here, but yet there are so many people that still prefer the old wineskins. The old wine, right? And that's so true. People, they want it because it's comfortable here, right? Because we've always done it that way. The Bible says, no, Jesus says, no, you know what? In the church, sometimes you just got to have new wineskins. You got to do something differently. Jesus says, we're not going to be about fasting. We're going to be about having table fellowships and eating and drinking with one another and celebrating the fact. Jesus did it differently. He was criticized for that. And we'll get criticized by sometimes doing some new things. But you know what? As a ministry team, and I'm saying that to the session and to you as a ministry team, you think about your local, sometimes you just got to have an opportunity where you can just say, hey, you know what? We got a whiteboard here. Let's dream. Let's think about what can we do. Maybe we're going to do something wild and wacky, but you know what? And we might fall flat on our face, but so what? It doesn't matter if you fall flat on your face. At least you tried something. A lot of people, the only people who don't fail are the people who do nothing. So try, do something. Be creative. Encouragement. If you want to build up joy in Christian service, encouragement is so vital. It's so critical. As you noticed on your joy factor, it says our leaders do not encourage one another. Right? They're not encouraging people. And if you think of the inverted pyramid, right? If you have a pastor here, that pastor, one of his major roles should be this, he should be encouraging his session members, right? And session members need to be encouraging other leaders. And those leaders of the various ministries, they got to keep encouraging their volunteers. If you want people to enjoy ministry, they got to continually be boosted up. Because ministry can be very tough sometimes. It can be. Paul and Barnabas, we read, they returned, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them. I mean, they made it their task just to go out there and encourage the people within the churches because they knew it was so easy for people to quit and say, oh, I don't feel like doing it anymore. I feel like giving up. You know? So you just need to boost one another up from time to time. Hebrews 13, let's encourage one another. It's just that message of Scripture. We've got to be there too. Because remember, encouragement means pumping courage into people. Right? You're strengthening them. You add all of that up, and what do you get? Solid relationships. If you want to build solid relationships in this church, those four things are critical. You got to just have lots of laughter and fun. You just got to do fun stuff together. Where there's issues, you got to bring about reconciliation. Deal with it. And the sooner you deal with it, the better. Allow creativity. Don't stifle people. You know, some youth comes up in the front of the church and sings this weird song, and everyone never heard that kind of song before, but you know what? At least they tried something, and maybe it fell out on the face, but so what? We're a church, right? We love each other. We care about each other, and even when we fail, it doesn't matter. They're forgiven, right? It doesn't matter. So we're this community. That's what family does, right? You know, we're just there for each other, and even when we don't, when we muff it up, and encouragement. So important. Build solid relationships. Compassionate church. This is where we scored the lowest. And pretty well on all the evaluations in terms of our story. It says, our leaders show concern for the personal problems of those in ministry. If you want to build an effective ministry team, one of the things that you need to do is to build into your team the opportunity to provide feedback and just to talk back and forth with one another. What might that look like? How can you provide feedback and evaluation? Well, you do two things. One is that you give feedback and you get feedback, and both things are important. I would not be able to do my ministry as a ministry training coordinator in our denomination effective if I did not continually get regular feedback. I do that, you know, whenever I put a conference together, I make sure I get evaluations and feedback because I need to hear, right, from people. This coming Tuesday, I'm meeting with the people from the Ministry Formation Work Group, and they're going to evaluate my work. It's so critical. I need their feedback. I want to make sure that we're on the same page and that we're actually getting some runs on the board. And if not, well, then we got to tweak some things, right? We got to change some things. So you want to give feedback. The three key areas. And these are things that you could do within your group, you know, in your team, or even in this session setting, you know, as a ministry team. You can just talk about what are some things that you're doing that just need to keep doing. In other words, you got to pat each other on the back and say, way to go. I mean, Karen does a wonderful job putting on a meal, right? We just gave her evaluation a little while ago, right? We just thank her and whoever helped her with her. But, you know, it's just wonderful, right? But you need to give that kind of feedback. What are they doing? What are they doing well that they need to keep on doing? Got to talk about that. What are they not doing that they need to start doing? That's one of the things that I'm looking for from my team, that they need to tell me, is there anything that I'm not doing now that I should be doing? Right? Get feedback. And finally, what are they doing that they need to stop doing? Is there anything that I'm doing that I got to not do anymore? Is there an area of ministry that I got to just quit that focus now? Maybe is there something else in my personality that I got to stop doing? That's how you grow, right? That's how a ministry is built up. And as a ministry team, it'd be good if you would get together with your volunteers or session with some of the different ministries in the church and just talk about that. Give proper feedback. Because when you give feedback, what that communicates to the person that you're giving it to is saying, you know, I care about this ministry. This ministry is important, and I care about you. And there's some things that you're doing really well, and there's some other things that maybe you could do a little bit better, and maybe there's some things that you should not be doing anymore, but, you know, you're talking about it. And that addresses this whole area of giving that proper feedback that needs to happen. When you give evaluation, it's so important to evaluate according to stated goals and objectives. We're not talking about our likes and dislikes, but we're talking about what are some of the stated goals and objectives of that ministry. And one of the questions that I always try to do when I do evaluations and feedback with people is I always say, what can I do to encourage you in ministry? You know, when I visit pastors on a one-to-one, or I might do it with a husband and wife, I often, toward the end of my time with them, I would just say, what can I do to encourage you in ministry? Anything you need help with? Do you need me to call you up once in a while? Do you need a pat on the back? You know? Do you need to be sent away on a holiday? Not that I would do that, but I mean, you know what I mean? But then what can I do to encourage you, right? You want to boost them up. It's so important, just to the ministry of encouragement. And then getting feedback. Not only do you give feedback to people, but sometimes it's very good just to go to people and say, well, how do you think the cadet ministry is going right now? You know, how do you think the youth ministry is going right now? And I hope that there will be opportunities for you as a group. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment, is that when you get together and huddle in small groups, you know, as a ministry team and saying, okay, how's it going? And as you look at this ministry, you know, are we actually living out our vision, you know, to live Christ in all of life? Are we actually doing that? Ask them to rate your performance. And even ask for some ideas, maybe one concrete idea that could improve performance. You know, I want to make sure that this ministry reflects Christ in all of life a little bit better, you know. I'm out of ideas, but maybe you got something I can do to sort of step it up. You know, one of the ministries that I get so involved in is I get, you know, pastors and churches calling me up and they're just looking for some ideas. And so I just sort of brainstormed some ideas with them and what they can do. So the whole idea of giving feedback. Now finally, when you get together as a ministry team, and this is just my encouragement to you as you're starting off this new venture, which I think is a good thing. A lot of churches have this, is where they just get together as all the people in ministry, and they get together. But when you get together, this is not going to be another session meeting. This is not going to be another congregational meeting. It's not going to be another worship service. This is going to be something different. We're a ministry team. We're leaders within the church. What are some things we can do? What I have found helpful, and maybe this could be helpful for you, is that when I've built ministry teams, I always focus on three things. The first thing is vision. And what I would do is I would split up our meetings. The first time that we would come together, we would deal with vision. We would get in a guest speaker, or we would have someone in our church, or someone in our leadership team who would give a talk and who would just inspire us on the vision of the church. All right? The last church that I served was a church that our vision was to be a church that would abide and share the love of God. Okay? So that was, we wanted to be a loving community. And so when we would do our vision sharing, we would get someone that would come in that would actually, inspire us. And what does it mean to be a loving church that allows the love not only to be embodied within, but also with, to go out of the church? Now, your vision is to be a church that wants to live Christ in all of life. And we as a denomination, we're a church that wants to be a church that's reforming to reach the lost for Christ. And as I said to you earlier, vision leaks. And so every third meeting, we would come back together again to talk about vision. We would just spend time reflecting on what are we all about, and reminding ourselves of keeping the main thing the main thing. The second thing is huddle. And huddle is simply a time when you come together as a ministry team into small groups. You don't have someone talking up front. You don't have anyone that, you don't have to do any work. This is just a time where you come together in small groups and you just say, how's it going? It's an opportunity where you can just give feedback one to another, and where you can pray with each other, where you can encourage one another. You just intentionally want to provide a forum whereby you would be able to just support one another, right? Remember, every supporting ligament, okay, you do that in your huddles, okay? This is not this way, this is this way, where you just come together and you support one another, so that someone who might be, let's say, a small group leader would go to a session leader and say, how's it going in session? Talk to me about that, Is it really going well? How are you living out the vision of the church? And they say, it's been kind of tough. We had some really tough meetings lately, and you would talk about that for a while, and, what can I do to encourage you, We want to support one another. And so you talk about that, and you pray with one another. And, you're starting to act like a family, right? And you're building an effective ministry team. And the final thing is skills. See, often what happens in churches is that we might have the vision of what we need to do, but we don't know how to do it. And so in my last congregation, I remember I had our youth leaders, they came to me and they said, we have this vision that we want to be a church that impacts our youth, and we want to reach these kids so that they would they would be able to give a proper profession of their faith, and they would come to Christ, and they would be fully devoted followers of Jesus. And they said, but we don't even know what to do. If a young person came to us and said, well, we'd like to give our lives to Christ and we want to become a Christian, we wouldn't even know what to do. And so we had a skills session where we just taught them how to do it. Had another team that said, we don't know how to share our faith. And so we led them through how to work out a testimony and to be able to begin conversations with people and build relationships with people and learn how to share a faith. And what happens then as a ministry team is you start talking together amongst yourselves and saying, what is it? What are some topics that maybe we just need some help with? Maybe we just need some help with how do we lead an effective meeting? Maybe it's even just as simple as how do we, you know, make prayer a vital part of our, you know, of our session meetings or our small group meetings or our connect, you know, and you can apply it to your different things. And so what you do is you bring someone in who is an expert in that area, who's embodies it, who knows what they're talking about. They might share a few things, and then you might talk about that in small groups. Maybe you might even do some role playing. You know, so that you can, that's how I learned how to share my faith. I just did it through role playing. You know, a mate of mine, you know, he was very good at it, and he says, well, I'm a non-Christian. You lead me to Christ. And I said, I don't know how to do that. He says, well, just start. And he discipled me through that process, and before you knew it, I could do it. Because he showed me, right? And then he taught me, and allowed me to role play it and actually put it in. So those are just those three things. VHS. I know we're all in a DVD world, and pretty soon we're all going to be in a digital world, and we'll just be able to upload everything with our little iPad and everything else. But I'm still a little old school, all right, even though I don't have too many VHSs at home yet. I think I have a half a dozen or so. But VHS is a good way to remember it, right? Just vision, huddle, skills. And so what I would do in my last church and in other churches I've been part of is that when I would get a ministry team together, one session I would deal with vision, next session we would huddle, next third session we would skills. We come back to vision and huddle and skills. Vision, huddle, skills. Because vision leaks. You got to keep the vision in front all the time. We would huddle together and they would engage in doing some skills. That's it. We're going to probably finish around 3 o'clock, right? So we're going to give about a half an hour to go through some of those discussions. We got a bit of, Tony, you had to share yet. But you wanted me to open it up a little bit for some questions, right? Or just some feedback. So feedback, right? Thoughts, questions, comments? Bi-monthly. Every 2 months. Yeah, so we meet 6 times a year. Because everyone else had their own meetings every month. So we would come together. And in one church, I said we had it quarterly. So every 3 months. So only 4 times a year. I worked this process in the last classes that I was part of. Classes Quinty. Our classes Huron. We did this every time we got together. We came together 3 times a year. First meeting was on. Second meeting was on. Third one was on skilled. You know, it was phenomenal. And we would always focus on one. So, for example, 1 year we did this thing on spiritual disciplines. So we flew this person in from the States who addressed all of classes on what it means to be, you know, have passionate spirituality, you know, to really be engaged with God. Just a wonderful speaker, and we broke into small groups, had a few discussions, questions, and talked about her talk. It was wonderful. The next time we got together, we huddled together as churches, in small groups, and we talked about how's it going in your churches in terms of implementing the stuff of our vision. Third time we got together, we realized that there were some things that people didn't know how to do. So then we had another person come in that focused on some of the skills. And so they gave some specific, you know, practices for us to engage ourselves in. So it wasn't a vision thing, but now it was a skills thing. But you have to decide yourselves how often you're going to meet. It's important that you need to meet as often as you need to. If you could accomplish what you need to once a year, meet once a year, I don't think you can, because you won't have enough to build solid relationships if you only meet once a year. I think minimally you'll need to meet at least 3 times a year, but bi-monthly, which is wonderful, so you can meet bi-monthly, but I'm saying maybe down the track, you're saying everything is going really well, we're coming together, and I don't think you should meet long, but you meet for about an hour and a half, and if you find that, well, you know, everything's going really well, it's going smoothly, well, let's not bore ourselves with our meetings. Let's not meet for the sake of meetings. I mean, they have to serve a purpose, right? And so if after a while you realize, you know, it's going really well, maybe we could reduce it to rather than 6 times a year, 4 times a year. But that's a decision you can make along the way. I think initially it's good, you know, meet probably bi-monthly because, but I caution you not to make it a big, lengthy time as like today because it becomes a bit overbearing for some people. Well, I think one of the first meetings that you ought to have is something on vision. I mean, you have a vision as a church that you are to live Christ in all of life, right? Did I say it correct? Okay, so, but what does that really mean? And it would be good that maybe you would invite somebody that would be able to unpack that for you. If that is your vision, I don't know where that vision came from, but maybe you need to do some research where, what was the thinking behind all of this, and find someone that can support that vision. If that's your vision already, but how does it really look like? And maybe that would create some ideas that you might think about, you know, how we can implement that vision within your church. You already have a vision. I mean, you have that. But what does it really look like? How does it look like for the specific ministries that you're engaged in? So I would encourage you to pursue that. But you have something in place. But you ask, is that the vision that God still has given us? And maybe you need to have a chat about that. But again, remember, the main thing about vision is that we're just taking Matthew 28 and we're just, you know, we keep the great commandment and the great commission. You know, that's what Christ has given to us. So, get feedback. It can become quite negative or critical. And that's why I in the work that I do when I mentor people and all that, I always start with talking about what they're doing well. Right, you always start with the positive. You accentuate that, and you don't really even say what they're doing bad, but what they could do better. Right? I do a lot of evaluations of preachers, and that's the worst thing I hate doing because I'm a preacher myself, and I know I'd be criticized or evaluated just as much as anyone else. But whenever I do an evaluation, I'm going to do some teaching at RTC in August and September of this year as well. But when I'll be working with some of these young men as they're thinking of preaching, I won't start saying, well, that was a crappy sermon. I mean, that was terrible, you know. I mean, is that a bad word here in Australia, by the way? No, okay. I would start saying, you know, I would always look for, you know, a number of things that they're doing well. And if you start looking for the good things, you always find the good in people. And I think we need to do that. And when you can build somebody up by looking at what they're doing well, then I would go to say, you know, I would address to them and I'm saying, what are some things you think you could do better? Right? And then they would come up with some ideas. I say, yeah, I kind of agree with that. And maybe you want to think about this as well. This is another area. Because we're not here to pull people down. We're always here to build people up. Always. And so evaluation and feedback has always that intent of building up, not tearing down. And whenever we're tearing down somebody or tearing a strip off them, I mean, we're in the wrong business. That's the devil's business, right? He's the accuser, right? He's the one that does that kind of work. No, we're here to build people up. We need to assessments once in a while. So I always start just simply, it's often how you approach it. First say what they're doing well. What do you think you could do better? And this is some of my thoughts. You know, what I think you can just want. You ever thought about that? Oh, no, I never thought about that. And we have a chat about that, and they've got the feedback. No. Yeah. That's right. And you want to stay away from the negative criticism that just tears people down. You know, and often that's the kind of criticism we get. You know, people are always telling what they don't like as opposed to saying what they do like. And I always try to flip it. If someone ever comes to me and is very negative about something, I'm saying, well, tell me what's going well, you know? And, sometimes they start changing their tune a little bit. So it's often how we approach the subject. But feedback is so important. I tell you, I'm probably the worst person to receive criticism because I hate it. But I know I need it in order to be sharper, because that's when I've been the best. Okay, small groups. Oh, Tony first.